I would like to discuss an issue that arises, unfortunately, all too often in many homes, the issue of taking liquid medicines, and especially as relates to children. Most adult medications are available in pill form, which considerably mitigates the kasher's concerns that relates to medicines. Those who are in the category of being considered a chayla sheyesh by sakana, someone who has an illness that is left untreated can lead to life-threatening complications, is permitted to take any medicine. The only limitation is that if a kosher alternative is available, one must use that. I would like to speak about liquid medicines that are given to those in the category of a chayla she'ein by sakana, one whose illness is not potentially life-threatening and is not permitted to consume non-kosher foods. A rabbi and a doctor should always be consulted about how to categorize an illness as a chayla she'yesh by sakana or ein by sakana. I would like to discuss some of the issues and perspectives on how to view this matter. First, let us understand what the concern is. A quick glance down the ingredient panel of most liquid medications will undoubtedly reveal some questionable ingredients. The most problematic ingredient that is found in almost all liquid medicines is glycerin, which is also known as glycerol. This sweet, syrupy, sometimes colorless alcohol is used to mask the often bitter tastes of the medication. Glycerin can be made from animal, vegetable, or petroleum sources, and it is very possible that the glycerin in our liquid medicines might be animal-derived. Animal-derived glycerin is an issa d'oraisa, a biblical prohibition. Another problematic ingredient in liquid medications are the flavorings, which might be made using non-kosher ingredients, such as non-kosher grape juice. Even if every ingredient listed could be accounted for, there also exists the concern that the flavors were heated in non-kosher equipment, and this will also compromise the kosher status of the product. The first question one should ask themselves is, are there any kosher alternatives available? For example, the OU certifies the Triaminic brand of medicines. Triaminic makes a full line of children's medicines for cough, cold, allergy, and flu, available in almost every drugstore. When a kosher alternative is available, then this is obviously the most preferred way of dealing with this issue. Why should someone shop around for a kula if they can just shop around at the pharmacy and avoid the shiloh in the first place? I would like to discuss four approaches to dealing with the issue of what to do if there is no kosher equivalent medicine available. Before I begin, I would like to make it clear that, as we will see, there are many differing opinions on this matter, and one should only act upon the advice of one's own rabbi and doctor. Everyone is urged to speak over their individual shilas with their own rabbanim. This presentation is merely meant to be informative of various positions taken by respective rabbanim in this matter. As this issue most commonly arises with giving medicine to children, let us understand exactly what the issur is of feeding non-kosher food to a child. We know that children under the age of bar or bat mitzvah are not liable if they violate a prohibition. If so, is there really any concern if one feeds them non-kosher? The answer is an emphatic yes. There is a Torah prohibition of feeding a child non-kosher food. Chazal darshan from the pasuk Emor elokayanim b'nei Aaron v'yamarta, Emor v'yamarta, lahazir gdolim alaktanim. Chazal learn from the double expression Emor, say, that there is a biblical prohibition to feed non-kosher food to a child. Now, it is only a biblical prohibition to feed children food that is biblically prohibited. What about a food that is only rabbinically prohibited? Is there a prohibition of feeding children food that is only rabbinically prohibited? There's a famous opinion of the Rashba that says that one is permitted to feed a child food that is only rabbinically forbidden, provided that it is done for the sake of the child. However, the Shulchan Aruch does not paskin like this Rashba, but rather paskins that even Yisurim Durabanan may not be fed to a child. This prohibition is referred to as the Isser of Safinan. The first approach that I would like to discuss is what I've heard from different rabbanim in the name of some chasheva poskim and rashi yeshiva, who I were told were not overly concerned with the liquid medicines. Although they all agree that if it is available to buy equivalent medicines that have a reliable hechsher, then one should definitely do so, But they say that if one does not have this available to them, then liquid medicines may be given. Their reasoning is that they do not consider medications to be foods. By this I mean, they do not consider medicines to be food grade. No one would ever consider drinking liquid medicines for any reason other than for curing an illness. Therefore, although the medicines are technically edible, they are still not considered roi l'achilas adam. They are considered unfit for human consumption. Along these lines, I once heard from a Rav that considered toothpaste, as relates to Pesach, to be considered ein roi l'achilas kelev, implying that a dog would not eat it. Someone questioned this assertion. He said that he had a dog, and the dog squirted out a tube of toothpaste, and then he licked it all up. The Rav explained that roi l'achilas kelev does not mean whether a dog would eat it, but rather whether it is of food grade to be fed to a dog, which certainly toothpaste is not. Similarly here too, medicines, although they might not taste putrid, are not intended to be foods, and therefore are still considered ein roi l'achilas adam. According to this position, even if we were to know that the glycerin present in the medicines were animal-derived, there is still reason to permit them. A second approach taken by some Rabbanim is to argue that the amount of glycerin that one consumes in a standard dose of medication is less than a kazayas. Although a dose of medicine still contains a chatzi shir, a partial measure of iser, which is still an iser daraisa, but Tosas in Avodah Zarah says that a chatzi shir of iser that is diluted into a mixture is only prohibited midrabanan. Therefore, they argue that even if the glycerin is an iser daraisa, but taking one dose of medicine is only an iser darabanan. Since we do not know for sure that the glycerin or flavor is not kosher, we can then say that this is a case of a safek derabanan, and we can apply the rule safek derabanan lekula. If it cannot be determined what the facts are regarding an iser derabanan, one has the right to be lenient. According to this approach, if one were able to determine that one of the components of the medicine was definitely not kosher, then one could not take this medicine. Also, if a kosher substitute is available, then this is, of course, always preferred. The third approach that I would like to discuss is based on the position of Rav Schechter, one of the poskim for the OU. Rav Schechter's approach is that for young children who have as of yet not reached the age of chinuch, one may give medicines if they need them. Although we have seen that feeding a child non-kosher is forbidden, Rav Schechter understands that there is an exemption to this rule in a situation where we say hainu revise, that these are the normal needs of the child. Just as one may feed a child on Yom Kippur because it is a normal need for a child to eat, and it is not normal for them to go a day without eating, so too it is a normal need of a child to take medications when they are ill. Again, it should be noted that this is only true if there is no suitable kosher alternative. Additionally, older children that have already reached the age of chinuch, and certainly those over the age of bar and bat mitzvah, would not be permitted to take liquid medicines. Rav Belsky does not consider medicines to be nifsal me'achila. Although they may not be the tastiest, he considers them to be roi l'achilas adam, fit for human consumption. Additionally, he has told me that he does not think that one can apply the rule safek derabanan l'kula in regards to the glycerin in medicines, because he is concerned that the pharmaceutical companies are receiving glycerin from many different sources and are mixing them together, since they are chemically identical. If even one batch out of 60 was problematic, it would make all the glycerin non-kosher. Therefore, we are not dealing with a safek iser, but rather with vada iser. Therefore, the best etza, if one is stuck and cannot find the kosher alternative, would be to dilute the glycerin to the point that it would be considered batal. I've heard it said by Rabbanim that 1 teaspoon diluted into 1 ounce of water is sufficient to be mevatal the glycerin in 60 parts. Although ordinarily one is not permitted to be mevatal iser l'chachila, For a chayla she'ein by sakana, it is permitted. Since being mevatel in Isser Drabanan, according to all opinions, is only a rabbinic prohibition, it is permitted for a chayla she'ein by sakana. It is questionable, though, as to whether one may be mevatel something that is biblically prohibited for a chayla she'ein by sakana. The Shach holds that even being mevatel Isurim Daraisa is only a rabbinic violation. Accordingly, it would be permissible as well to be mevatel medicines that contain Isurim Daraisa. However, the Ravid holds that it is biblically prohibited from being mevatel Isurim Daraisa, and many Achrayim say that we should be concerned for this opinion. I spoke with Rebelsky on this issue, and he said that he too feels that one should be concerned with the opinion of the Ravid. Nevertheless, there is good reason to be lenient in our situation of being mevatel medicines, even in situations that we know that the glycerin is animal-derived. This is because we are not interested in having the glycerin there at all. The Ravid was talking about someone who wishes to add Isurim to their pot in order to add to the quantity. This was being done to be mevatel the Isur in order to benefit by increasing the amount of kosher product. But in our situation, where nobody wants the non-kosher glycerin in their medicine, and they're diluting it in order to get rid of it, so it will be like it's not there, then even the Ravid might agree that this type of bittul is not biblically forbidden. Indeed, several Achrayim make this very point. In this case, everyone would agree that one may dilute medicines in order to give them to a chayla she'ein by sakana. In summation, we have discussed that there are kashrus concerns regarding liquid medicines, and it is always preferable to buy kosher medicines such as Triaminic. We discussed four approaches to dealing with the issue when no kosher alternative is available, and I again would like to encourage everyone to discuss this issue with their own rabbi and with the acceptance of their doctor. Thank you for listening to OU Kosher Tidbits.